You're listening to the Adoption and Fostering Podcast. And in this episode, Scott and I head off to the National Adoption Awards and have a chat about all things National Adoption Week. So it's a little bit of background noise as we sat on a wall outside because they wouldn't let us in with our recording equipment, unfortunately. Afterwards, we had a quick chat with Adoption Blog Fox, who'd won National Blogger of the Year. So, Scott, we're outside of Coram Fields, aren't we? Chambers? Coram, what is it? What is it, Coram?
It's a museum, isn't it? Thomas Coram Museum.
Foundlings Museum.
Foundlings Museum. And why are we here?
We're here because it's National Adoption Week and it's the awards tonight.
Excellent, that's very good. So we're going to go in there. I'm aware that it's probably due to start in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it probably is actually.
We're stood out, and that's why you can hear lots of noises of like policemen trying to move us on and things like
bells
that.
Bells ringing and helicopters going on.
Yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Anyway, yeah.
National Adoption Week, it has been so contentious this year.
It has. You are correct.
I don't know
whether it's you rubbing off on me or if it's just the whole thing. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm just not feeling it this year.
Not feeling the love?
No.
But I think that's reflected across all of them.
I think it is, actually. Yeah. I think that the agencies are doing the job that they have to do, which is to try and recruit new adopters and, you know, hats off and all that jazz. But I think I'm listening a lot more to the people who have adopted and who, you know, it's not all that appears in the marketing to recruit new adopters. And that's hard.
It is hard, isn't it? I've been thinking really hard about what is these kind of the pebble in the shoe.
Yeah.
And what I've thought was that actually it's a really unusual notion to have a week about adoption.
Mm.
So we have like Black Awareness Month, we have LGBT Day, we have Cancer Awareness Day, we have all of that kind of stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, adoption is made up of so many moving parts. It's not, is it Adoption Awareness Week? Or is it, if it was Adoptee Week, we could all get behind that. And if it was Adopter Week,
I think you've probably hit the nail on the head there, actually, because how can you do something like this in a week, for a start? And also, adoption awareness, would be maybe a better turn of phrase for it, because by raising awareness of not what adoption means, but, well, yeah, what it means, but the long road of what it means, rather than just, you know, if you're the kind of person who wants to be a parent and has considered this as a way to do it, then this is the way you should do it, kind of thing. Whereas, maybe you might have to have a little bit more about you than that.
And also, I mean, I think it's something that I know I'm a, you know, corduroy wearing, sandaled, sporting social worker. So I kind of, all the time, I think that if I was a parent.
You've got a round of applause.
Thank you. I'm here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitress. I think if I was a parent who lost a child to adoption, this would really sting.
Yeah. And I am becoming more aware of that as well. And also the adoptee perspective as well. I think that adopters are often criticised by adoptees that they don't know, because criticised for things that, you know, we're trying to do something different about, so, you know, raising awareness of the support levels and needs and what have you, and adoptees who've been through that who are maybe adults now and live with their issues day to day, actually they're quite critical of adoptive parents. But also, you know, even more, I speak to birth parents now, whereas maybe 5 years ago I wouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And just having that awareness of what they go through as well, you know, we're in this as a almost like a three-way thing, where it's birth parents, adoptive parents, and the child. And that's what we should be focusing on as part of an awareness week, if you like. That actually, you know, there is more to it than just placing a child for adoption and then, you know, that is it. The legal and the moral responsibility ends for anybody else, social workers, you know, birth parents, blah, blah, blah. It's a hard one.
It is, isn't it? Because I was also thinking about Adoption Week, Adoption Awareness. I was thinking, you know, what we need a preparation to be the adopters of adults as well. Because what I was thinking...
You ain't kidding.
Oh, we've just had our bait, haven't we? And we've been weeping into our chips. But I was thinking, really interestingly, is that... Because the views of adoptees change.
Yeah.
And I think that's the challenge, because I think to a point, I've done pretty damn good with my kids.
Yeah.
But then what I'm conscious of is that I was not prepared for them meeting family. I was not prepared for this journey into adulthood. So I think that often adoptees, and rightly so, their views shift as they, you know, when you're six, what you think about adoption is probably quite binary.
Yeah.
16, 26, 36, 46, 56, it goes on and on. But actually, so there's a revision of their own experience in the light of their learnt knowledge. So they understand the system more, and they understand the dynamics of how they came to be an adoptee and that process, and then they revise potentially what their parents did. And I think their adoptive parents then, they did fine till they were 15, 16, 17.
Yeah.
And then we just dropped the ball.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, because I don't think we know what to do then.
Yeah, exactly. That's when it gets to. But then, is that not the case for all parents? In some ways.
Get you?
It is. You know, I look back to my parents with my... I was perfect, obviously.
Of course.
All the way
of
through.
Of course.
I was born perfect. They... You know, my brother, as an example, completely different situation, you know?
Yeah.
And by the age of 15, 16, it was really difficult for my parents to parent them. So...
I guess there's no guarantees,
no,
is there?
There isn't.
There's no guarantees.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that we could... I think that it would be great to revisit this idea... Because there's some really good adoptees, and there's some good adoptee voices that we're seeing coming through, and they're really helpful. But again, I find their perspectives really interesting. But I think if I'd asked you at 10, that's not the view you'd have had.
No. But would you have had a view at 10, though?
Well, sometimes Lottie comes on and she's said things, and I thought, she's got really a real insight. But I thought, at 20, she may wholeheartedly disagree with that. If she survives. I survive. More to the point, if I survive. And I just think that all of those nuances are really complex that we're not getting. Yeah. So I think that's one of the reasons that Adoption Week has been a bit challenging this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, I think. And I don't think we'll solve it. But I'd be interested to... I forgot Dr. Alcott's MBE or professor or whatever you're going to be. I don't think it's something that we can solve, is it? You know, because we're always going to need adoptive parents. And, you know, these numbers are quite big of children that are... Well, I don't... But the system thinks we are, because if you look at some of the market... not marketing, that's the wrong thing.
Oh.
But it is marketing, isn't it?
It is marketing.
So there's so many children in the Southwest, there's so many children in the East Midlands, there's so many children in the Northeast currently looking for adoptive families.
Big deal.
And that's what, you know, that's what the focus is, really, is on the numbers at the minute.
But what... And it's interesting, you look said that you've quoted numbers at me, because that before we came out...
I didn't give you numbers, I just said that's
numbers.
No, but the idea
of numbers, right? So I was looking at the statistics, and last year there was 390,000 children in need in the UK. There was 73,000 children in through the foster care system, and those children, those numbers are transient, and, you know, and the circumstances represented there are really complicated. The numbers of SGOs have gone up and are almost comparable.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, adopted children, if you... we're pushing towards 100,000... 500,000 children.
Mm.
We're talking about tiny numbers.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. And but it's always dropped, hasn't it? It's dropped since the 1970s.
Yeah, but it reached a low point of 2000. Yeah. Right? It was 2000 in the year 2000.
Yeah.
And we've built it back up to 3.5, 4?
Yeah, something
what is
like
it now?
That. Yeah, 4.5.
But what... My point is that...
Have you got a point?
No, my point is that, is this sustainable?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't answer that
When you look at those numbers, 390,000, you know, 70,000, da-da-da-da. And someone was asking, do people have opinions about what we should talk about this? And someone was Hopeful Adopter, which is a great Twitter tag, which we all should have.
Yep.
Blindly optimistic adopter. Sort of said, well... Why is there no joined-up thinking? Why are we not getting this kind of clarity, these linear routes through school, through health and education?
Mm.
And I just thought, because the numbers don't add up.
Yeah. No, I think you're right in that respect. The one thing that I'd say is I am quite an advocate of adoption, because I am. It helped me to become a parent.
You don't have to justify
that. No. But you know, for some, it is a way to become a parent. And whilst the reality is very different to what I thought it would be, I've still become a parent. And I hope that, you know, in time... I will have made a difference in 3 lives. I would hate to see it disappear altogether for children, because my view on it has changed, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I did it to become a parent, but actually, you know, I'm now at the back end of it, where I think, well, have I made a difference in that child's life, and was I able to offer them a secure home, and all those things. Yes, I did. Has it made a difference? I don't know yet, but I'd like to think it has.
That's a $64 million.
Yeah, exactly.
That is.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I am an advocate for adoption. I find myself in this odd position wearing that. I think it stinks. I think adoption stinks, right? But I also think that it's wonderful. It's, and I use this phrase, awesome, terrifying thing. But I think we need to evolve it to meet the needs of the children
and
the adults.
So
that's me qualifying that I'm a progressive, that let's keep adoption, but let's make it something new.
And I'd agree with that. So there we go. So we've agreed about something.
Wow.
Yay.
Shall we go in and see
what's... We should really go and see what
and
this is all about
tonight.
And hopefully
we can catch up with some blog.
Hopefully.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Adoption Blog Boss.
Hi.
Now, we were at the award tonight, and what happened?
I somehow managed to win the Adoption Blog of the Year award.
Well, somehow is a bit disingenuous.
People voted, I don't know why, and I happened to win on the night.
Okay. Well, that's really good news. And are you happy about that?
I'm extremely happy. It's an honour, yes, to win the award.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. So tell me, and this is like a really obvious question, but people have lots of different reasons why they blog. So why do you blog?
I think I just started it for fun. I didn't really know where it was going to take me. And then as I got doing it more, I realised it helped me to take sort of concerns and things out of my head and put them on a piece of paper. And often things would make sense more if I wrote about them. I would order things and sort of solve problems in my writing. And then it just became something I had to do. I can't not blog.
Cool.
Yeah, it just happens. I love writing.
So how often do you blog?
Weekly. I blog every week. Usually there's something obvious to blog about. It's obvious things, but there are occasional weeks when I panic that I don't know what to write. But
yeah, I mean, that's a pressure, and I guess I don't blog as much as I used to, but I'm really conscious that it can become almost like a habit that's really hard to break.
Yeah, I mean, you've struggled to break yours, haven't you? You said you were going to stop and then you didn't. I don't know if I could stop it. To be honest, there have been times this year when I've thought maybe, like, why am I doing it? And I started to question why I'm doing it. And obviously reading figures dip and they go up and down. And I know you're not supposed to be bothered about that, but then sometimes it does bother you and you think, why am I doing it? But I think this award is actually really encouraging for me. And I will definitely be keeping going for the foreseeable. You can't get rid of me.
Because you bring your own slant to it, and as all adoption bloggers do, you kind of bring your own nibbles to the buffet. So tell me a little bit about your particular slant, which you mentioned a bit in the award ceremony.
So there's a couple of sort of key themes, I suppose, to my blog, which are, one is blending adopted and birth children, because we have one of each. Obviously general adoption issues. I tend to blog about the sort of the educational side of things quite a lot. And also I'm a speech and language therapist, so I blog about speech and language and communication issues as well. Mm-hmm. But I think my sort of kind of what sums me up as a blogger is I tend to be really honest about how things are. I don't shy away from the truth, but by the same token, I think I'm quite positive and put quite a positive spin on things. So I hope I get the balance right.
I'm going to move off blogging now, and I'm going to ask you some broader questions. Because it's National Adoption Week, and you probably noticed there's been a lot of it feels like a different sort of year. Where do you stand on National Adoption Week? Tell me, I mean, you've just won an award, so you're obviously massively in favour of Adoption Week. But what, you know, thoughts?
I think, like most adopters, it's probably a bit of a mixed blessing. I wrote a blog about it this week that I think kind of sums up how I feel, really, which is that we do need to promote adoption because we do need people to do it, but it's not something that's for everybody. And we shouldn't sugarcoat it or sell it as something that's, you know, an easy solution to a really complex problem. So I think we need to be honest and maybe get people into it with their eyes open from the beginning. I definitely see a place for it.
Right.
Yeah, I do.
That's good. That's a good thing. Anything else you want to tell me?
I don't think so. I'm about to have a cocktail.
You're about to have a cocktail. Well, that is, on that note, I think we should say goodbye. And well, thank you very much and congratulations on winning your award. Where are you going to keep it?
on my shelf right in front of my desk to inspire me when I'm writing.
Oh, that is a great answer.
Excellent. Well, look after yourself and I hope you enjoy your cocktail.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Cool.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode, and I hope you found it enjoyable. It's a little bit short, but unfortunately we were both away doing exciting things for half term, so we didn't have time to get together with a guest and make a proper episode. We've got some interesting people coming up on the next few weeks, hoping to speak to some adoptee activists, as well as maybe some birth mums. We've got a few interesting people in relation to digital adoption, as well as future plans for adoption. And as always, if you're wanting to be part of either the adopter stories or the foster care stories, then please do send us a direct message and we can arrange to speak to you, or you speak to us, or some sort of magical Skype incident. Anyway, thank you very much for listening and I hope you have a great week. Bye bye.
Are they shooting the park? Are we going to get...
There's a wall that's like...
A wall outside Coral.
Because we can take our selfie and go, we've been ejected from...
So we can talk amongst ourselves. So... So, round the rugged rock, the rugged rascal ran. I'm just wanting to... Oh, there's a man with a bell.
Bell is closing the park.
He's going to come over and ring our bell.
You can ring my bell.
We all find our place in life, don't we? What's your favourite colour?
Ooh, blue.
Really?
Yeah. What did you think it was? No, go down that way. Has it got a wall there?
Yeah.
Why, what did you think it would be?
I don't know.
I bet you were good.
Gonna say pink?
Yeah.
No, I would never say that. That's a slur on my good name.